Hello, Ventura Vineyard. I'm so excited to be with you all. My name is Alexander James. I have the honor of kind of just sharing my heart and a brief word with you for your series, Uncommon Sense. I believe we've been really just talking about biblical wisdom that can help us in this current age. And I think you all have talked about knocking and seeking and resilience and humility. And I just really began to search my heart, like what wisdom from the scripture should I bring next? And I think I want to talk more about the application of some of the other skills and traits and wisdoms that we've talked about up until this point. So if there was to be a title of this, I would call this Your Witness Will Be Measured by Your Withness. Your witness will be measured by your withness. I have a question. Who loves you? I mean, who loves you well? When you're asked who cares for you, I'm very interested in who comes to mind. Is it a family friend? Is it a crazy uncle or an auntie? Is it your mother and father? Is it a friend or just a caretaker? And then I would then ask you, how are you measuring that? Like, how are you measuring how you are loved and who loves you well? What is on the totem pole for you that you're using as a measuring rod to judge who loves you and how they love you? And I would argue there's tons of things we could put on there, whether it be gifts, whether it be encouragement, maybe words of affirmation. Maybe you thought of your spouse and you thought of just the intimacy that you have with that person. But I would argue that all of us, though it may not be the top on our list, somewhere near the top three, the greatest way that we were able to ascertain this person loves me was their withness, is how much they're with you, their willingness to take out time and be with you. There's a beautiful gift in with, in being together with a person, in a thing, doing things in real time, in real life, because withness already speaks of the idea of sacrifice. We live in a day and age where I can get in the car and pretty much go anywhere until I run out of gas, of course. But when someone chooses to be with you, and not just to hang out or have fun, but when someone decides, I am going to be with you through this death in the family. I'm going to be with you while you search for a new job. I'm going to be with you while you struggle with identity or insecurity or just depression, worry, anxiety. It is the people who offer us that with that we end up appreciating so much. And I believe that the patient we talked about, the resilience, the asking, the knocking, the seeking, I think all these things are great traits to carry with you while you're being with someone. I want to turn to the text. I think that there's a really, really great example of this in the Bible, in the book of John. The Bible says that in John 4, chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus had learned the Pharisee had heard he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John. Although, in fact, he was not baptizing people, but his disciples were. So he left Judea and once more went to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. He told his disciples, we must go to Samaria. And maybe some of you have, the Bible scholars in the room, have kind of heard where we're going. He goes to Samaria and he meets this woman at a well. And they have, y'all, the most interesting conversation. He opens up asking her for a drink of water, and then she kind of chastises him, saying, you know, you don't even have a bucket. And he says, woman, like, if you knew who I was, you'd be asking me for water. And then the story kind of goes, and he mentions to her that the water he offers, if you drink from it, you will never thirst again. And the woman responds and says, I want that water. Now, I really want to pause and just do a much better job of setting the stage here. Jesus is saying, we must go through Samaria. Isn't Jesus saying, let's take a slight detour? In actuality, on their way where they were going, going through Samaria will make the journey actually go much quicker. So why is it significant that Jesus says we must go through Samaria? Well, back then in Jewish culture, the Samaritans and the Jews didn't necessarily get along. So they had normalized a longer route to their destination, all to go around Samaria. They literally put in extra work, took extra time, and if they're traveling in a large group, extra treasure, extra finances, just to not have to deal with those Samaritans. They were willing to literally inconvenience themselves just to go around Samaria. I asked you this. What would be the Samaria in your life? What is the people, the subject, the theme, the place, the burden, the hurt, the unforgiveness, the scar that maybe you've normalized going around? And maybe for some of us, that Samaria isn't as much a place as it is a person. I opened the sermon asking you all about who is it that loves you. And we talked about measuring that with this idea of withness. Now here's my encouragement, family. Here's my encouragement. We are called to be the salt and light of the earth. We are called to be the examples of this amazing God, Jesus, who came and died on the cross for us and then calls us to live a life in response to the death that he paid for us. And part of that life is to share his witness, to share his goodness with everyone that we can. And I wonder if sometimes we are searching for comfortability and we are picky with who we're willing to be with. And by doing so, there are some people who are waiting to be with us, who are waiting to see the light of Christ shine in our hearts and our actions and our character. But if we are so unwilling to go at least to the place, talk about the subject, deal with that issue, then there are places that this little light of ours will never go. I challenge you, church. Who is someone you need to be with? Maybe it's difficult. Maybe there's history there. And maybe, watch this, as in Jesus's day, culturally, it was appropriate to go around. It was culturally appropriate to not go to Samaria. And I'm wondering if in our families, in our routines, in our motives, if we've normalized avoiding certain things. But here's the good news. Here's the good news that the Holy Spirit, the God we serve, he's so big, so grand, so powerful that he wants all of you. He wants to shine his light in all of your life. He wants to use you wholly and completely. So he's calling you to that difficult place, calling you to that hard, that uncomfortable space and saying, watch, if you're willing to be my witness and be with them, here's the beauty that God said that he'll be with you. The word says that he'll never leave. He'll never forsake. So even if the issue is uncomfortability or safety, anxiety, or just these issues, he's saying that if you are willing to trust me and go and be with, go and connect, go and share love, go and create that relationship, then if you are willing to be with, then know that I will be with you. Family, if I was to think thematically, in our culture, our American culture here today, what would be our scenario? Well, I could think of a couple. Politics is a thing that most folks tend to avoid. Immigration, definitely. And I would have to throw in the pot as well. And though there might be more, but I would also have to put the issue of race relationships, of reconciliation, of ethnicity, and the differences therein, and that those misunderstandings and what they cause, and some of us either feeling ill-equipped or unwilling, or just thinking about how difficult it could or may be. We avoid those moments. We allow those conversations, those moments of contention to become our Samaria. That's the thing we avoid. And I want to encourage you. The Bible gives us tons of examples of God's willingness to be with. The Bible says that he is Emmanuel. He is the God amongst his people. He is God with us. When the Israelites were freed of their slavery and bondage in Egypt, the Bible says that during the day, he was a cloud that gave them shade. And at night, he was a pillar of fire that kept them warm. And I think the point he was making is, not only am I willing to be with you, but I actually care that you're okay during the journey. I care that you're okay about getting to where I'm calling you to be. He didn't have to be a cloud. He didn't have to be fire, but he wanted his people to feel warm and for them to have a cool place during the day. What am I saying? I'm saying that if you are willing to journey to the place where God is calling you to go be with the people that he's called you to witness to and share your light to, then God will preserve you on your way there. The Bible says that their shoes never got holes, that their clothing never worn or tore, that they woke up every morning to quail and to manna that God provided for his people, because it's important for him to be with, which means, family, it should be important for us to be with people, to be with them, not simply to say, I'll pray for you, but to be willing to get in the issue with them. And I could think of another example. The Bible talks about these three Hebrew boys who are unwilling to worship King Nebuchadnezzar. So in his rage, the Bible says that he turns this fiery furnace up 7 times hotter than it should have been. And the young men say, King, like, you don't have to blow the horns again. We will not do that, because the God we serve deserves our worship. The God we serve, we're devoted to him. And whether he saves us from you or not, we're going to be with him. The Bible says that the throne into the fiery furnace, and King Nebuchadnezzar, expecting to hear screams of pain and anguish and misery and gnashing of teeth, the Bible says he hears nothing. And the king runs over to look through the mirror into the furnace, and the Bible says that he asked his servant, "Didn't we only throw 3 men in the fire?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "But why? Why do I see a 4th man who, and this 4th man looks like the Son of God?" And here's the beauty of that story. And I promise we'll get back to the woman at the well. But listen, the beauty of that story to me is that Jesus, who was all powerful, all knowing, omnipresent, could have simply blew the fire out. He's God. But here's what was important to him, that Jesus and God doesn't want you just to love his power. No, he wants you to know the power of his love. And what did that love call him to do? It said that not only am I going to respond to your faith, but I'm going to literally get in the fire with you, get in the furnace with you, get in the storm with you. And the Bible says that their clothes didn't smell like smoke, and nothing about them smelled like ashes. Because of the presence of God, they were able to bear the fire. I think there's a small nugget of wisdom in there for us as well, that often our American culture demands that we have solutions and answers for everyone, right? And some of the reasons we don't get into it with people is because we feel like, but if I can't fix it, why would I go? And here's the thing. Jesus didn't put the fire out. He just loved them through his presence. And I promise you, that family member, that cousin, that friend, that auntie, that uncle, they don't necessarily need you to be the solution. Jesus is that already. You know what they need? For someone to simply be with. For someone to take out the time to sacrifice, to simply be with them in the midst of it. So when Jesus tells his team, "We must go through Samaria, there's someone that I need to be with," he has this conversation with this woman, and he asks her to give him water, and they connect. And then Jesus does this strange thing, y'all. He asked her to go get her husband. And Jesus knew that the man she was with was not her husband. And she was actually on her 5th. This woman had a reputation. She was not valedictorian, we'll put it that way. I struggled with this for a while. Why would this loving God say this harsh thing? Because, and here's what I learned, is that even though God was with, he didn't withhold truth. Here's what I'm saying, that when you're with people, when you get in it with them, when you struggle with them, when you're long suffering with them, patient with them, that doesn't mean you don't tell the truth. While we're in the midst of that, we say that Jesus can and will. While we're in the midst of that, God will redeem and restore. But we also say, when Jesus intervenes, when a woman is caught in the act of adultery, he writes in the dirt and says, "Let ye who's without sin cast the first stone," and all the accusers begin dropping their stones and walking away. And Jesus shows this beautiful example again of being with, of getting in it with the person, of being involved. But then he turns to the woman and says, "Your accusers has left." And then he shares truth with her. "Go and sin no more." church, what I'm encouraging us to do is to be the hands of God, to lovingly be in it with the people, to act out all this fruit of the Spirit and patience and praying with them, where we're asking and knocking and repeating. But what's also important is that we love them enough to tell them the truth of Scripture, the truth of our stories, the truth of our testimonies, that I'm not just with you physically, but I'm going to bring my truth and my story. I'm going to bring the God who holds me together with me, because he's in me. And I want you to get to know him. So I'm connecting my witness with my withness. For those of you who don't know the story, the woman, so transformed by her interaction with Jesus, runs and tells the whole town who he is. This woman, who in the beginning of the story is hiding from the other people in town, now literally becomes a traveling evangelist. And the Bible says that many in that town were saved because of her testimony. All because Jesus was willing to be with. So I'm going to wrap it up, but I want to leave you with a couple things. One, are you willing to be with? What are the changes, the strategies, the conversations you need to have to set up an opportunity to be with someone who just needs somebody in their corner? Number two, when Jesus and God had his presence with his people, where he was cloud by day and fire by night, he literally just offered comfort to them by his presence. I want you to ask yourself, would the people you spend the most time with agree that your presence is a cloud by day and a fire by night? The way you carry yourself, the way you treat people when you're around them, does it bring comfort? Does your presence bring peace with it? Does your presence create joy and create it love? And are people excited about being around you? Do they love being with you? And then lastly, in our efforts of being with, prayerfully, gracefully, lovingly, but importantly, share truth. Tell them that the wages of sin are still death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Tell them that he heals. Tell them that he restores. Tell them that God redeems and offers victory, but they'll hear it better if you don't scream it at them, but you mention it in grace and love while you're with them. You might have heard this phrase before, but I think it fits, that people don't care what you know until they know that you care. Church, I want to encourage you that your witness will be measured by your withness. Thank you. All right, family, I actually have one last thing to share with you. I have a special announcement beginning April 15th all the way to June 17th, every Thursday via Zoom. I have the honor of working with your Mosaic team there at church. We're going to be having a small group discussion. It's a facilitated group working through the brand new book on racial reconciliation entitled The Love Required. I've worked really closely with the author, Liz Cornell, and facilitated at least four other churches through this racial reconciliation journey. And I'm so excited about the opportunity to walk with you all as well. See that? To walk with you all. Anyway, please, the signups for this group have already opened up. I believe you can start today. I would love to see as many of you all in there as possible. For a number of reasons, but But I'll say this one most importantly. The world is becoming more diverse and urban. And I deeply love the Church of God. I believe that it is the saving grace of earth. I believe that it is the salt of the earth. It is the light of God. It was God's plan to redeem and restore the earth back into himself is the church. And I believe that if church, if we don't get this right, understanding each other's stories, being able to be with each other in different seasons of issue and pain. Right now, all of our Asian American brothers and sisters are dealing with a special kind of pain, a special kind of trauma because of the horrendous attacks in Atlanta. In church, we need to build out systems and protocols that are not just equal, but equitable, that we can truly love each other well, that we can be a church who, regardless of your race, ethnicity, socioeconomic background, your education level, that when it's Sundays, whether we're online or in person, we're not just a group of people in the same place. We're truly with each other. And the only way we can do that is by trusting the power of the gospel to truly reconcile us, not just to God, but to each other. So please, if you get a moment, please sign up for the course. We would love to see you there. All right. God bless you, church. Peace.